May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 76. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn number 76.
Thank you. I please God to bless his word to the profit of our souls as we read together this morning from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke and reading chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Great and eternal Lord God, that one who is high and exalted, that one who is so gracious and so merciful, that one who is so condescending to unworthy sinners. We're thankful this morning that we have such a God to come to in prayer, a God who we believe does hear and does answer prayer. And Lord, help us to have a little understanding of the wonder of such a truth. Lord, to think that thou, who created all things, the ruler of all things, the one who holds the breath of everyone in thy hands, the one who knows about every situation which occurs in this world, and the movement of even the smallest insect. And so we come, Lord, today, thankful to know that although that God is so great and so mighty and so powerful, yet we believe thou dost condescend to come and meet with thy people as they gather together in thy name to worship. And so we pray today such a blessing may be truly evident, that as we've gathered here together to worship, Lord, that thou would presence thyself with us here, and that that presence may be very evident by the effect it has upon each of our hearts, to realize that we have such a God who has on this Lord's Day morning condescended to gather with us here and to influence everything that is done, the singing of the hymns, the reading of the word, the prayers, the sermon, to realize, Lord, that all is being done through thy purpose and in accordance with thy divine will. And so, Lord, we come this morning and we desire to bow down before our Maker, to acknowledge that thou art the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we pray, Lord, every one of us may realize that thou art our King. We pray, Lord, for a very personal revelation of the wonder of such a truth. We pray, Lord, we may not be left outside of the secret. Lord, that secret which thou dost reveal to thy people. O Lord, that personal evidence of thy work in our souls. And so, Lord, we pray today it may be a time of blessing. And Lord, how we realize that we don't know what that entails. We don't know, Lord, what will occur. But we would pray, Lord, that thy great name may be lifted up and honoured and glorified, and our souls eternally blessed. And so we pray, Lord, it may be a good day today in the life of our soul. We're thankful, Lord, that we are still able in our nation to gather as we have done this morning. And we are grateful, Lord, for the freedom and liberty that we enjoy. And Lord, we know this has been so in our nation now for so many years. And Lord, we tend to take these things for granted. Lord, we tend to assume that they will automatically continue. But Lord, we know not what the future holds. And therefore we pray that every one of us, as we are able to come together to worship, and may truly make the most of such occasions, and that we may prayerfully be concerned that these occasions may not pass us by, so that we leave our time of worship empty-handed. And we find that when we leave, we are no different from when we entered this place of worship. We pray, Almighty God, thy Holy Spirit may therefore come upon us. For Lord, we pray that our religion may be a real religion, a true religion. And Lord, it may not be false. It may not just be a veneer, Lord, to appear to be what we're really not. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant the reality of the blessing of God in our very souls. And Lord, that that reality may evidence itself in the things that we are able to speak and do and think. And we pray, Lord, that we may be amongst those who are continually concerned with regard to the condition of our eternal soul. And we pray, Lord, for those continual evidences to prove that we are born again of thy Spirit. We do possess the life of God in our soul. We are journeying through this world to that celestial place of glory. And so, Lord, we pray that our lives may evidence this great situation. We come, Lord, grateful and thankful for the Word of God. Lord, for the wonderful record we have of many of those things which were done when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, the wonderful example he gave in teaching, the encouraging words he spoke, the parables that he set before the people, so illustrative of the life of the true Church of God. And so, Lord, as we've read that account this morning, with regard to several examples of thy grace and of thy favour, we pray, Lord, that we may understand, as it were, the deep that coucheth beneath, the great truths which the Word of God contains, and many of them, Lord, are faced with those parables, but Lord, they show forth a great depth in the sovereign grace of God and the mercy of God and the favour of God. And so do we pray that as we do read the Bible, it may speak to our very souls, and Lord, it may not just pass us by. But Lord, what a blessing it is that we have the Word of God to read. Lord, we desire to praise thy name for the privilege it is of having the Bible in our own language with the ability to read it. And we seek, Lord, as we read it, it may be a living word that speaks to our very soul. And so, Lord, we come thankful today for the Word of God. And we pray that as we read it, we may search out and find the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he is, and all that he has done, and all that he means to us. Oh Lord, we pray today that the Lord Jesus Christ may be lifted up We pray that he may be honored and glorified. And Lord, that will come powerfully and draw us unto him. O Lord, leave us not on the sidelines. Leave us not, Lord, out of the secret. But Lord, may we know the wonderful power of the work of the Holy Spirit, doing that for us, which we cannot do for ourselves. And so we pray, gracious God, that thou would come and make thyself evidenced here in our midst today. And we pray, Lord, for this people, from the oldest to the youngest, all those who are here, those who are not here, detained for one reason or another. We pray for everyone, that thy good spirit may work in their souls, and that this may be a true church and congregation of true health in the things of God, true fruitfulness in the things of God. There may be much evidence of thy work in all of their souls, and there may be that loving unity one to another, and they may pray one for another and seek each other's spiritual good as well as helping each other naturally. Oh Lord, we pray there may be much work done in this people, Lord, and that work may be evidenced. Lord, may there be that willingness to come and testify of what thou hast done for their souls. We know, Lord, these things bring honour and glory to God. We know, Lord, that our lives are for the honour and glory of God. And therefore, Lord, leave us not to be found pleasing ourselves. But, Lord, help us to ever be concerned to please our God. And, Lord, may the evil one, the devil, not be allowed to deceive. Lord, we know how skillful he is. He always has been. He hasn't changed. We pray that we may know the wonderful power of God in our souls, which overcomes all the evil, all the subtlety that Satan would bring to us, especially that evil heart of unbelief. Oh Lord, may it be dispelled. And grant us, Lord, that true faith to believe the word of God and to believe the truth of it and believe those things which thou hast done for our souls. Believe those words which thou hast spoken to us. So, Lord, we may have great cause to come together and join together to exalt the name of our Saviour. We think of those words, let us exalt his name together. Lord, may this be our true concern, and may it prove to be our true desire. And Lord, we pray for this people. We pray, Lord, if it could be thy will, thou might arise and bring a pastor to them. O Lord, thou knowest the needs in this day and age. And we pray, Lord, there may be the wonderful appearing to this people in this respect. That thou wilt grant, Lord, there may be one who may be being prepared, perhaps even now, for such a position. And Lord, we pray that there may be much prayer to this end. Oh Lord, we would rejoice if thou dost see fit to bring this to pass, so that there may be an under-shepherd over the flock which is here. And so, Lord, appear then, we pray. And then, Lord, we think of the whole Church of God worldwide. We realise, Lord, there are many today who suffer greatly for their faith in the Saviour. Much persecution, much opposition, perhaps imprisonment, perhaps their death. O Lord, we pray for the support and help from Almighty God to those who suffer in this way. We pray also, Lord, that thou would quicken souls and make them cry, "Give me Christ, or else I die." And O Lord, we think of our nation in these desperate days. O Lord, how sad it is to read in the papers or listen to the media and to hear, Lord, how again and again our nation is turning its back on Thee. Oh Lord, we deserve to be cut off. We deserve, Lord, Thy anger. But Lord, Thou hast still lengthened out Thy goodness to us. But we pray yet we may know better days. Oh, that there may be a turning unto Thee. And Lord, some of those laws, evil laws which have been passed may be rescinded. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou would overturn all the evil desires of sinful men, atheistical men, humanists, secularists, Lord, those who have no time for God. Lord, we pray Thou would overturn and rule yet in our country. We are thankful, Lord, for the occasions when we can rejoice. We think, Lord, in the past week when those three judges overturned that evil judgment of that woman to be aborted of her child. We're thankful, Lord, for the wisdom and the understanding given to those judges. And we pray, Lord, that this indeed may be something which may stand firm and be established in law. So, Lord, it is not possible for a woman to be forcibly made to abort her child. Lord, how we need Thy Holy Spirit to arise in this and, Lord, many other things. O Lord, in the world and in our nation, with the homosexual situation, Lord, the transgender situation, Lord, how wrong and rife it is. And Lord, how difficult it is today to even speak against these things. But we pray, Lord, Thou would appear and rise up those who do not fear man, who are able to speak forth the truth of God, the word of God. And Lord, that may once again be a time when our nation turns to Thee. Lord, we confess the church has been asleep. We confess, Lord, we haven't been prayerful about these things. We confess, Lord, we've just gone in our own little world, only concerned about our own little situation. But Lord, help us to pray mightily unto Thee, that Thou would arise. And if it could be Thy holy will, there would yet be a time of spiritual blessing. O Lord, wilt not Thou yet arise and do great things if it could be Thy holy will? And we seek therefore, Lord, that many souls may be eternally blessed. And we pray for our Queen. We pray, Lord, that she may be upheld and able to speak those things which are true and good. And Lord, as the Conservative Party seek to elect a new leader who will be Prime Minister, Lord, we know not what to think. We know not who to consider as the right one. But Lord, we commend it to Thee and pray, Lord, that in Thy great purpose and providence, that one may be appointed who may do good for our nation. Perhaps, Lord, against their will, because we know we have a God who has and can influence and turn minds. And so, Lord, let us not look to man, but let us look to our God. Be with us then now as we gather for worship. Come, Lord, bless our souls. Oh, do us good. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1041. Oh, where is now that glowing love that marked our union with the Lord? Our hearts were fixed on things above, nor could the world one joy afford. Hymn 1041.
May it please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 53, and we'll read verse 6. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53, and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is, of course, one of the most wonderful and beautiful and prophetic chapters in the Word of God. And it does prove so very conclusively that the Bible is true, because the description that we read of here in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah very clearly shows to us it refers to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And how that which was described was fulfilled in the life of the Saviour. And to think that it was written so many hundreds of years before the Lord came upon the earth. And I sometimes ponder and think, well, if I'd been living in the days of Isaiah and this had been read or written, would I have appreciated what it referred to? Well, the truth is that back in those days, we would not have really understood what it referred to unless the Holy Spirit had directed us. The truth is, that is no different today. Because you and I can read an account like this, and we can perhaps recognize what it refers to in a natural way, but it's only when the Spirit of God shows us and speaks to our very heart that we then understand the great truth of the Word of God, especially contained in such chapters as this. So it will be a wonderful blessing today if we can testify in our hearts before God that by his grace, we understand who it's speaking about and how it applies to our own life. Because the Word of God is written to apply to each one of us in our own lives. It's not an abstract book that has no reference. It has direct reference to the Church of God as they travel through this world. And so as we read an account like this, we should be arrested by perhaps the very first question in this 53rd chapter, which says, who hath believed our report? That's a good question, isn't it? And we can say what it really refers, of course, to the whole Word of God. And who has believed this report? Have we believed it? Do we believe it? Or is it something which we are not very worried about? We come to chapel and we tick our little box and we go home and we go back to work on Monday or to school or to college, whatever it is, and we forget about the great truths contained in the Word of God and how those truths apply to our very self. And these things are not to be trivialized. They're not to be thought of little importance. They are very vital. They are very important to every one of us, because they speak, the Word of God speaks to us about ourselves, about our life, about the life to come, and about the great plan of salvation. And all of us are wonderfully privileged to have the Word of God. Now, that is a wonderful privilege, but it is also a very solemn truth, because every one of us will stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and all of us will be without excuse. We will never be able to say, well, of course, I was never told about these things. I never read about them. None of us will be able to say that. And so, may we consider the great truth contained in the Word of God, and especially as we have here in this 53rd of Isaiah, the things which speak to us about the Saviour, but directed very personally to each one of us. And this sixth verse, which we read this morning, tells us all we, doesn't say, well, just certain people, just people who are rather bad, and certain people who just carry on their own life. It says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Well, it would be good if the Holy Spirit shows us that we are numbered amongst those who have gone astray. And we've all turned to our own way. We've all followed our own desires. We've all followed the things that we want to do. We put our lives first rather than the things of God first. And so, if the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts this morning and produces that real understanding that we have gone astray and we have turned everyone to his own way, now the blessing will be for us today if that is in, as it were, the past tense. Because there has been a time then when the Lord has shown us where we were going, has shown us that we were just like sheep who just follow one another. You may have seen sheep going across a field, and one may have found a little gap in the hedge and it goes through, or a gap in the fence, and all the sheep just follow on. They don't know where they're going to or what they're doing. Well, how sad it is when we are like sheep, follow the ways of the world, when we follow the ways that Satan puts before us, so that we are numbered amongst those who have gone astray. We've gone away from God. We followed the things of time. And it is so easy today to be found like that. There's great pressure to follow the things of time. And we can classify that as our own way. And how tragic it is that there are so many who turn away from the things of God. And that's not the people in the world. That is the people who profess to be religious, profess to be, we might even say, believers, profess to be Christians. And yet you see, the reality is that they are turning to their own way. They have turned to their own way. They're following their own way. And what does that really mean? I believe it means this. We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not bow down to Almighty God. We will not follow the way of God. We will not do the will of God. We are arrogant. We are hard-hearted. We are wretched. We are sinners indeed, pursuing our own agenda and following that which is pleasing to ourselves, that which is not pleasing to Almighty God. How we need to be reminded that we all stand before the great God, that God before whom we will face at that day of judgment. Now then, are we going astray, listening to what the devil tells us is acceptable? The devil is the greatest deceiver. And we need to pray that we will not be left to listen to what he tells us, but that we may be concerned to do that which is in accordance with God's will. Now, the devil uses all types of situations and arguments to convince us that we need not follow the word of God. He will bring no end of arguments, and we are very easily led, just like sheep, easily led, and we go astray, and we turn away from the truth of God's word, and we follow an evil way. We may not always recognize it is an evil way, but let me just say this: every way which is not following the truth of God's way is an evil way. Sometimes we need to weigh up our life in the face of such a consideration. You see, the Lord God in his word has given us the path, the way that you and I should walk. And it's very clear, if only the Lord grants us those spiritual eyes to follow the right way and to not find ourselves walking in a wrong way. And therefore, in answer to this great question, who hath believed our report? We have to say, well, we've heard the report, but we haven't believed it. And that's a very sad scene, isn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But what does that mean? It means this: that you and I are guilty sinners. We've done that which was wrong, and we deserve the condemnation of God. So often we fail to realize that we deserve God's condemnation upon us. So often you see, again, the devil blinds us and says, well, that's all right, you can carry on. And in the event, you can rectify in time to come. We may never have time to rectify it, because the Lord may take our life, and that would be a very tragic scene, wouldn't it? If we had made an assumption that we were only young, or that we were older but very healthy and we could just carry on. We have no idea when we should draw our last breath. And for us, time will be no more. And so this statement is true. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But then you see, we have the glory of the gospel. And Isaiah tells us here, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's on the Saviour, the iniquity of us all. That means, of course, all those who are part of the church of God. It doesn't mean the whole world. It means those who have been left to go astray, who have turned to their own way, and the Lord has shown them, brought them back, as it were. We read together in that 15th chapter of Luke the familiar account of what we term the prodigal son. And you see, he thought he would have his fill with the things of the world. They looked very attractive, and he asked his father to give him his inheritance, which his father did. And what did he do? He went out into the world and he spent it in riotous living. Well, the good news was, of course, that the Lord had in the parable a purpose of love towards that man. And what a mercy when God has a love toward us, which we never deserved. We will never deserve God's love. Because of our sinful condition, because of our evil heart, because of our opposition to the things of God, because we walk away, we go astray, and we turn to our own way. To think then that God has looked upon us. Well, he did in that parable of that man. He went away, and then you see, he hadn't got any food, and he had to eat the pig's food. It wasn't very pleasant, I'm sure, but he was grateful for it. I don't expect we'd be very happy if we came to that and we had to eat pig's food to keep alive. But there we are, you see, in that parable, the Lord brought that man right down so he had nothing. And we're told this, he began to be in want. That is a wonderful blessing. If in our spiritual life we come to a situation where the Holy Spirit brings us to be in want for spiritual blessings. Now that's not something you and I will produce. But what a mercy if God has brought us there to be in want for spiritual blessings. And then what occurred? Well, he said he would arise and go to his father and confess what he'd done. And he would say, I will be as one of thy hired servants. Well, he went back to his father. He did confess what he had been. He didn't say, make me as one of thy hired servants. He wasn't able to get that far. You might say, well, why was that? Well, it really is because of these words. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, all our sins. What a blessing it is when God brings us to be in want, and in that condition of want, to come to our God and confess what we've been. Confess our enmity against God. Confess the way we've gone, the things we've said, the thoughts we've had. You know, it'll mount up. It'll be a great pile when the Holy Spirit shows us. And you won't be a little sinner. You'll be a great sinner. And great sinners need a great Saviour. And that's who we have here in these words. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all our sins, every sin laid upon the Saviour. All our sins, not one left behind. And what a wonderful truth it is. The blessed Saviour was willing to have our sins laid upon him. He was willing to bear the punishment due to us. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? It's an amazing truth to think that the Lord God Almighty had such glorious condescension to come to that situation, that he was willing to take your sin and my sin upon himself, and to therefore bear the punishment for us that was incurred and due to us because of our sin. How glorious, how blessed, how wonderful will the Saviour appear. Then you see, it won't be just a theory. It won't just then be something that you've learnt perhaps, but it'll be then a reality in your very soul, because here is life. There's no life outside of Christ. There's no life outside of Christ having had our sins laid upon him. It is such an essential part of the Christian faith to know personally that Christ has died to atone for our sins. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, this 53rd chapter of Isaiah just gives us a little view of the cost of our salvation. And so you see, first of all, it describes what the Saviour was like. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That means naturally. Naturally, you and I would not desire the Saviour. See, people draw wonderful pictures of Jesus, making him look the most handsome person perhaps that ever lived. But you see, it wasn't like that at all. His visage was more marred than any man. Not somebody that naturally you and I would desire. And it's a wonderful blessing, that, because what it means is, it's not our natural mind that desires the Saviour, it's our spiritual soul that desires. And therefore, we see this description, first of all, so that there isn't a natural way, it is a spiritual way. And then we're told, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You see, this is a description, isn't it? We have rejected the Saviour. Well, you know today whether you are still rejecting the Saviour. My friends, let us not come down to our dying day or our dying hour, our dying minute, and still reject the Saviour. Rejected of men, despised, esteemed him not. Is that us? Have we despised him? Have we not esteemed him? You won't have esteemed him if you put other things first, put the things of time first, if you put your own reputation first. Remember, he made himself of no reputation. That's who you and I are called to follow, this man who made himself of no reputation. He was despised. He was rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You see, this glorious God, oh, that you and I might have some grasp of the greatness of God, and to think that the great God, the ruler of the universe, looked down upon you and me personally, individually. Wonderful blessing, amazing truth. To think that this God has done that for you and me. Oh, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. My friends, never turn away from the sufferings of Christ. Never turn away from Calvary, because our salvation depends upon that which was done at Calvary and that which our Saviour endured throughout his life. Just passing on to the seventh verse, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This was the great God, the Saviour of sinners, who was so willing to be brought to this condition in order that he might save his people from their sins. You know, if we consider the depth of this position and the greatness of our God and the amazing love and the wonderful compassion of such a Saviour to such wretched, hell-deserving sinners, is it attractive to us today? Do we rejoice in such a God? Do we praise such a God? That he should ever have looked upon us? He should have ever remembered us in our low estate? Well, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I read that 15th chapter in Luke, not principally because of the prodigal son, but really because of the earlier verses which spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ as that heavenly shepherd. And we're told, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And so, if you and I have wandered off from the fold, wandered away, been enticed into the things of time, something has attracted us, some vain thing, we've been enticed, we wandered away. The good news is the Lord knows where we've gone. And here we have this, again, this parable, very wonderful really. And we're told that if you've got 100 sheep, you lose one, he leaves the 99 and goes after that one. What a blessing if in our lives we have the evidence that God has gone after us. You see, he knows where we've gone. He's watched over us. He's gone after us. And here we read, and when he has found it, yes, he found it. And God does find us. There's no failures with God. When he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You see, we might be very weak. You won't be, perhaps, a great strong Christian. You may be very weak. You may be almost ready to give up, almost ready to expire, as it were. And then I think the Lord picks us up and he carries us back to the flock. It's wonderful, isn't it, to have such a Saviour. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Yes, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And true that is. What rejoicing there is over one sinner that repenteth. Indeed, the church of God rejoiceth when there is the evidence of sinners repenting and turning to follow a despised and crucified man, and to realize that man is this one that we read of here, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, it is a blessing when the Holy Spirit convinces us of our position and of our sin, which has caused the Lord of life and glory to suffer. If there had been no sin in the world, there would have been no Saviour. But there is sin in the world, right from the very beginning, and therefore every sinner saved by grace is only saved through the death and the sin-atoning shed blood of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us here today needs to be found under the blood. Under the blood. To know that Christ has died for us. See, these are not just truths recorded in the Word of God. They are, but they need to be applied to you and me in a very personal way, so that we do have the wonderful favour to know that Christ has died for us, the least of sinners. And I believe the Spirit of God does convince us that we're not a little sinner, but we are a great sinner. And we glorify God for a great Saviour. A great Saviour who did not deal with us as our sins deserve. A great Saviour who loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness has drawn us. In the that very long psalm, the 119th psalm, the psalmist finishes the psalm with these words. In this verse 176, if you young people know how many verses there are in the psalm, it's 176, and he tells us, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And what was the prayer? Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. What a good thing it is when the Holy Spirit gives us that desire to once again seek unto him. That prodigal son did, didn't he? In that time he was brought to that place to be in want. A time to come and to pray. The Lord will seek us out. And he will come to us. We may feel just so far off. No one is too far off. No one can wander too far away. The Lord knows all about us. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so when the Holy Spirit touches our heart, you know, as we sometimes pray that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, which is a wonderful prayer, and it's a very important prayer. But sometimes that growth is not the way that you and I expect. I often think the growth is when the Holy Spirit shows us more of our sins. Things that perhaps when we were first converted, when we first came to know the Lord, we didn't think much about and we carried on doing them. And then one by one, as it were, the Lord comes and touches this sin and we have to give it up. And then another sin and we have to give it up. And have to realize that all those sins had to be paid for. All those sins had to be atoned for. And it was only through the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that? That is really a spiritual growth. A growth in grace. As the Lord shows us more of ourselves. And in showing us more of ourselves, shows us more of the wonder of redeeming love. Christ becomes more precious as the church of God grow in grace. As you and I grow in grace, it is always, of course, an individual position. And we're not the same as one another. But we all have this common position, that there is this spiritual growth. And as you and I, by the grace of God, do become older, what a blessing it is when Christ becomes more precious to our souls, more precious far than earth and all its comforts are, said the hymn writer. Well, that's a great statement, isn't it? It's a great blessing if you and I come to that position. What a mercy it is. And maybe pray for it, because what does it do? It brings honour and glory to God, because it brings us down in our own estimation. We become lower. We become smaller. We become more vile. And we see Christ as a greater and a more glorious Saviour, as he should have ever looked upon such a person as we are. Loved with an everlasting love. A love which is just beyond our comprehension, to think that God should have loved us. But as the Holy Spirit does show to us he has loved us, the response will be that we love him. We love him because he first loved us. It's the great work of the Holy Spirit. And to realise then that, yes, we've been like sheep, we've gone astray, we've gone our own way, and then God has come to us. He's found us, and he's stopped us, perhaps in our mad career, as we sang together in that second hymn, yes. You see, or the first hymn rather, you see how God calls his children. Yes, and it's a call which you and I will not be able to resist. We may try to. We may try to. But you see, God has no failures. And when God calls, that call becomes an effectual call. Oh, praise God for that. Bless God for that. And what a mercy today. My friends, if all of us here can testify that God has called us to see where we've got to, where we've gone, and called us to realize there is a great salvation, and called us to put all our hope and all our trust in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy it is to realize we have such a Saviour. And my friends, it is so important. You and I are blessed today to be able to gather together to worship. We're blessed to have the Word of God. But my friends, you and I must have the personal evidence of God's call, showing us the truth of these words contained in this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and also contained in these words, that we've all gone astray, we've all turned everyone to his own way, not easy to come and confess that we've been such a bad person. But it's a good thing when we realise that we have done so, and that the Lord, in his amazing love, has looked upon us and has laid our sins upon himself. The word of God uses the word imputed. His righteousness to us, and he has imputed our sins to him. You know, it's an exchange which you and I cannot comprehend, but it is of grace. And it is for the love of God to us. And perhaps when we understand a little of this, we shall realise what a blessing it will be to come to glory, where we shall be able to praise our God without any sinful nature. Everything will be pure. Everything will be right. Everything will be holy. No sin. And so may we bless God today. I hope we can. Bless God today for this wonderful truth. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And to realise that we are one of those all that the word of God refers to here, for our eternal blessing and for the honour and glory of our God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £585, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday School this afternoon. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow evening, and Mr. Chapman is expected to speak. Mr. Fred Inch will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Dr. Christie is expected to preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
We talk of
Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.